Well, let's get into this. We've been talking about the love of God. And so if you would, go with me to, let's go to John chapter 13. I'm going to read some verses that I read last week, but I want to kind of hone in on a certain part of them to kind of help us get something. But while you're going to John chapter 13, hallelujah, glory to God. The love of God, there's something we say around here. We must learn to do this. Our ambition here at the Difference Church is to, number one, walk in the love of God. I mean, the Bible says to make it your aim, your great quest in life. It's the only thing in the Scriptures it says to do that with. So that is very important to us, is to learn to walk in the love of God, right? And then, so we're learning that. We're studying that now, aren't we? The next thing that we do here is we want to walk in love, and then we want to walk by faith. We want to learn to walk by faith, right? And we teach a lot about faith around here, and that's all well and good. And then the third thing that we say around here is to learn to be led by the Spirit. So walk in love, walk by faith, and be led by the Spirit of God, right? The Bible says those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So it's so important to learn how to be led, isn't it? And we'll probably talk more about that later on in this year. What I say is for the Difference Church, that's like the three things. If you can learn to do those three things, that will answer every question in life that you will ever have. So here you go. It's like a kind of a three-stage filter, if you would, right? Is it love? Is what I'm about to say? Is what I'm about to do? Is it the love of God? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't do it, right? Is it the love of God? We're love kids of a love God. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love, right? And we're His children. If we've given our life to Christ, we are His children. So therefore, and the Bible says in Romans, as you've heard me say so many times, that in Romans, He says that He at the day of our conversion, He poured His love into us by the Holy Spirit. So we've got the love in there, and you've heard me talk about over the last few weeks that the way we develop that love is every day we have an opportunity. Am I going to walk in love today? I'm going to press out another rep, right? It's like being on the bench press with all that weight on that bar, and you're pushing out another rep. That's how muscles are developed, right? And every time we get an opportunity to walk in love with someone, someone says something that could be offensive, right? I go over to the gym and a couple of times a week, and probably should be in there more, but I'm there at least a couple of times a week. And, you know, and there's this guy that comes up to me, and he starts talking to me just about every time I'm there. And he comes talking to me, and it's like effing this, and man, it's just all on. I think I hear that word probably more than any other words. It's effing and all this, you know. Now, what I could do is what a lot of religious people do, what I could do is say, dude, I am a Christian. More than that, I am a pastor. In fact, he knows I'm a pastor. And it has undeterred him whatsoever. And I could say, dude, no, these ears are for God only. I don't need to be hearing all this mess. All right, let's run it through the filter. Is it love? No. Is it faith? No. It wouldn't be faith for me to tell him that, dude, you need to reserve good language just for me. All right. And would I be being led by the Spirit to correct him for his nature? See, that's his nature. He just needs Jesus. If I can build relationship with him and then introduce Jesus and get Jesus in his heart and in his life, then that nature changes. See, we got to quit getting mad at people for, quit, you don't get mad at dogs for barking. And you don't get mad at dogs for wagging their tail. It's like, I'm petting you, quit wagging your tail. The dog's going, but you're making me happy. Right? So we got to learn how to walk in love, walk by faith, and be led by the Spirit of God. Right? Filter everything you say and do, how you treat people, how you think about people. Is it love? Is it faith? And listen, am I being led by the Holy Spirit to do this? Right? You got that? All right, so with that in your mind, let's go into the rest of this. Because this whole love series that we're on, it's about those three things. It's about developing the love of God in us, walking by faith with that love. How many know sometimes you just gotta love people in faith? Anybody know some difficult people? You know, and you actually have to walk in love with them by faith. It's like, you know what? This particular person really gets on my nerves in every way. Right? So that's where God's love, that is why God poured his love into us. I mean, think about it. God didn't even wait a week. He didn't even wait a day. He said, oh, they want to follow me? Here, take some love, because you're going to need it. Because there are some people in the world that you're going to need some love for. And you're not going to be able to love them the way you need to love them with your love. So I'm going to load you up with my love. But my love is being poured in like a seed, so it's got to be developed. I'm giving you that. The day you gave your life to Christ, he gave you that love muscle. But that love muscle has to be developed. So we're going to rep it out. Going to rep it out. Oh, sweet Jesus. Over here, you got some people you don't have to rep it out as much with. But others, it's like, Right? Walking in the love of God. But we here's the thing is we can develop that. It's not unattainable. God never tells you to do something that he knows that you cannot do. Now, he will tell you to do some things that you don't think you can do. But that's because you're looking to your own strength. Right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us today. Amen. All right. So John chapter 13. It's the verse we started off with. Let's take a look at this. Now, when I turn to verses that we've looked at two or three times, don't go, oh, he's just repeating himself. I'm really not. Have you ever read the Bible? You read a verse, you got something out of it, and then later you read it again, you got something different out of it, and you read it again later, and you got something different out of it. The Bible is multifaceted. I mean, there is so much and so much of it. But all right, let's look at this. Verse 34, it says, so Jesus is speaking. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So the love of God, God gave us his love so we would have something to show the world that we're his disciples. How many know in the world, it's easy for people of the world to be good to people that are good to them. World can do that. And when I say the world, I'm just talking about people that don't have, they've not made the decision to follow Jesus. They're not even thinking about God. They're not even looking to God. When I say the world, I'm not speaking of the world disparagingly. It's just that they're outside of the covenant, and we've decided to have a covenant with God. And God has made that covenant available to everyone, but there's a some that have decided, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? So, and there's people, the people, when I say the people of the world, I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean it in the sense that they have not, there's people that have not decided to follow Jesus, you know. And so he says here that he gave us his love, that we're to love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, with that thought, let's look at 1 Corinthians 19. Now, I'm fixing to read a couple of verses I just read to you last week. We didn't actually look at them, but we're going to look at them today. And a part of this message is in response to some things that I said last week that I didn't do a good enough job. Sometimes, you know, you make a statement and you think you covered it well, but then you realize, wow, I guess I didn't cover that as well as I did, and it kind of created some, like, what do we do here, whatever. So we like to answer those questions because we never want you to walk away going, I don't know what that was. Right? All right, so let's look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 9:19, I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, for though I am free from all men, in other words, Paul's saying, I'm a free man. I'm not bound by anybody. Right? I'm free. I have made myself a servant to all. Okay, first of all, Paul said, I've made myself a servant to all. It was Paul's decision to choose to be a servant to all. But why? What did Paul mean why when he said, I have made myself a servant to all? What was the purpose? That I might win the more. So Paul, what he's saying is, I choose to walk in the love of God. We also read that verse out of, I can't remember where it was, actually. I think it's in Galatians, if I remember correctly. Paul says, I am willing to spend my life and be spent for you. Though I love you, you seem to love me less. In other words, all Paul was saying was like, even though you choose not to love me, I'm still going to love you. When he says, I spend my life and willing to be spent, let me tell you what he wasn't saying. He wasn't saying, so I have decided to be your doormat. I have decided that it's okay for you to walk all over me because I'm a person of love, so you can treat me however you want to. You can just walk all over me, and I'm just going to be okay with it. That's not what the love of God is for. The love of God is to help you to treat those people kindly when they do try to treat you like a doormat. But the love of God does not make you a doormat. Right? When people try to treat you like a doormat, they insist. First of all, the Bible says love does not demand its own rights. So they're the one not walking in love. When they insist on you doing this, or they insist on you doing that, or they want you to shift your whole life to accommodate them. That sounds a lot like selfishness to me, but on their part. Right? So love helps us not to be selfish. Right? But it does not make us a doormat. So he says, what I'm wanting you to see in these three verses that I'm going to show you, and I've got a fourth one we're going to end with, but these first three verses, I want you to see something. Jesus said, right, by your love, all will know that you are my disciples. So in other words, as we walk in the God kind of love with people, that helps them to see that, whoa, there's no way I would have responded the way they did. I would have slapped them. I'd have cussed them out. I would have retaliated completely different. I would have let them know what was really on my mind. But the love of God in us, there's a scripture, we haven't looked at it yet, I'm sure we'll get to it in this series, but there's a scripture that says the love of Christ constrains us. How many know there's times that we need to be constrained? How many know there's times when our mouths need to be constrained? Our attitudes need to be constrained. Right? How many are glad that God's love helps us to constrain? Right? We may not always get it perfect, but the love of Christ is there to help us not to react the way that our flesh would want us to act, and help us to not say what our flesh would say, let her rip. Right? I'm getting a lot of this. Everybody's like, oh man, I feel you, brother. All right. So Paul says, for though I am a free man, I am free from all men. I'm not bound by anybody. I have made myself a servant to all that I may win the more. In other words, that I may be able to lead them to Christ. That I may be able to lead them to Christ. Right? Not to accommodate. He didn't say, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I may be a slave to all. That I may do whatever they want, whenever they want me to do it. That is not what the love of God's for. It's to help us to, you know, there may be times we can accommodate some things. But that doesn't mean that they rule our life. Right? So when I say the love of God, I'm not talking about just the ooey-gooey love. That, oh, I'll just do anything for you. Right? You like my... Missed it, didn't you?
Not about them Cowboys.
Dang it. It's on video. We ain't talking about the Cowboys right now. All right. All right, let's look at this verse. So he says, hey, you know, I'm not bound by anybody, but I've chosen to be a servant. But that doesn't mean that I accommodate everything that your selfishness may want me to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. All right, let's look at this verse, and then we'll get to some other things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33 in the Amplified. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Just as I please, now here's Paul again. Just as I please everyone in all things, I love the Amplified for this. Watch this. As much as possible, adapting myself to the interest of others. As much as possible. Didn't say without fail that I'm going to adapt to everybody, whatever they need, I'm going to bow down to it. No. Once again, the love of God doesn't make you a doormat. Right? For people just to wipe all their junk off of themselves onto you. Right? We can walk in love with those people. And we can respond with love. But that don't mean they get to make all their demands and we just bow down. Okay? So just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interest of others. Not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. Are you catching the theme? That Jesus said, so that the world would know that you're my disciples. Paul twice is communicating that people may be saved. So in other words, I'm not going to act like the world because I want the world to come to Jesus. And if I just act like the world acts, did you know that's a reason that a lot of people are not saved? It's because they have family members that are. Well, if following Jesus is being like Uncle Joe, no thank you. Man, when nobody wants to be around their Christian relatives, those Christian relatives are not being like Jesus. Because the Bible says that sinners loved being around Jesus. He was called a friend of sinners. Now hear me. Jesus hung out with sinners, but he did not start acting like them. See, Jesus could be cool and legit with sinners without them altering his convictions. I don't have to do what they do to win them. I can love them without becoming them. See? So I don't have to do the things they do. I don't have to go, well, if I'm going to get in with the crowd, then I'm going to do this. No, you don't have to do all that. All you got to do is love them. People are looking more for love than anything else. But in the words of the old song, a lot of people are looking for love in all the wrong places. Right? Yeah, I used to listen to country back in the day. But anyway, listen. He says, just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interest of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. So the theme is about introducing people to Jesus, not becoming a doormat. All right, you ready? So last week and the week before, I made this statement, and now I'm going to spend a little time qualifying it. People need you when they need you, not just when it's convenient for you. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
It is. But can that statement be taken wrong? Yeah. Too far, right? People need you when they need you, not just when it's convenient for you. But that doesn't mean that you have to just bow down to everything that everybody else needs. Why? Because there are more needs in the world than that one person's needs.
Yeah, that's right.
What if your family needs you? Mm-hmm. What if God needs you to be doing something else somewhere else? Does that mean that, they told me they have a need? Well, understand this. Are you ready? Just love me through this one, all right? A person's lack of planning and lack of discipline does not constitute a crisis on my part. Just because they didn't plan or they missed or whatever they did to cause them to create, and they self-created their own crisis, and now they come to you and want you to fix it. This is what the love of God would look like. I'm sorry about that. I'll fit you in when I can. I'll do what I can to accommodate it, but right now I've got this. I don't have time to do that right now. Love does not always go, yes. Oh, absolutely. My life was put on this earth just to serve just you and only you. Right? And when they go, well, I can't believe you, blah, blah, blah. Ooh. Well, let me tell you what, I'll do what I can. Not what I feel. I'll do what I can. Now, you don't have to have that look on your face. That wouldn't be the love of God. Just know that's what's going on the inside. But what we do is we tap into that. We reach in there and we grab a portion of the love of God and we allow it to come up, and it comes up through our face. I will accommodate what I can. Right? Hallelujah. Because you know, when you feel like you have to, you feel like, well, the love of God's gonna, I just gotta, whatever they ask me. Listen to this. Love is not an enabler for their poor choices. Now, I know we spent the last 3 weeks, just love everybody, just love everybody. And now here I come on today, to a point. Right? Yeah. We cannot just, though we are learning to walk in the love of God, doesn't mean we throw wisdom out the window. It's not like, well, we'll teach on wisdom, but now we're going to teach on the love of God. So, no, it's all inclusive. It's all inclusive. Right? All right. In other words, and I've said it already, I think I've already made this statement, their need is not the only need in the world right now. Your family may need you. You may have other commitments. And that's okay. Sorry you missed. Sorry you're going through your crisis. Sorry whatever happened. But and I love you and I want to help you, but I just can't right now because I've got other commitments. It may be just going home and chilling with family, but your family needs you, right? It may be going to church because God needs you. Amen. You know, there could be a myriad of different reasons why you can't do it right now, you know. But love goes, says, I tell you what, let's do it then, or let's figure something out that will work for us both, right? When we say, when I make the statement, people need you when they need you, not just when it's convenient for you, what I'm really talking about is, this will be a good example, and then we'll go to this last verse. When you've already committed to do something, say, you know what? After I get off, yeah, I'll come help you move about 6 o'clock. I'll get off at 5. That'll give me time to get home, kind of chill a little bit, then I'll come help you move. You get off work, you get home, you get in your easy chair, you have a little food. Now you're feeling all nice and comfy for the evening. And then you're like, your alarm goes off. I'm supposed to go help them move. But I'm so comfy. I'm so settled in for the evening. That's when the statement, people need you when they need you, not when it's convenient for you, comes in. Because you've already told them you would do it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 15. People need you when they need you, not when it's convenient for you, is not a statement that makes you feel like you've got to go meet every need in the world. Did you notice that the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Do you know who he spoke that to? He spoke that to the body of Christ, not to you individually. I know you're part of the body of Christ, but he wasn't saying, so you need to go. If he told me to go into all the world, there's no way I could go visit every continent on the world and have have time for my family or even be here. I'd be traveling the world constantly, right? And still not be able to get to it all. He was speaking it to the body of Christ, and now it's our job to pray, Lord, what do you want? What is my part of that? What is my part of going into all the world? I want my life to be spent doing things that's going to help people come to Christ. But my part is not to win every person on the planet to Christ. Right? So when we make statements like that, and that's what I'm saying, I didn't really take the time to qualify it last week, probably because I was over time, which I'm not quite yet, but I'm getting close. So, and I didn't want to keep you too long, but so, and I failed to qualify that and explain that as well as I should. So anyway, there's that. All right, let's look at this verse. Then we'll close. Wrap it up for today. Psalm 15. Now, Bill's not going to put the first three verses up. I'm going to read through them just to kind of give you the context. It won't take me very long at all. It's a few seconds because you kind of need the first three verses to kind of set up that fourth verse. But verse 1 says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter the presence of your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to gossip, And remember, the first verse is who can worship in the sanctuary? Who may enter the presence of God? Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors, those who speak evil of their friends. Remember, okay, let me. Verse 3. Those who refuse to gossip and refuse to harm their neighbors and refuse to speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners. In other words, don't mean despise like hate them. It just means, no, I'm not having no part of that. People that are flagrantly just intentionally sinning all the time. God don't want you doing all that stuff with people. We can be friends with sinners, but not, and be a friend of sinners, but not indulge in their sinful ways. That's what that's saying. So though, and it says, it goes on to say, and those who honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Keep their promises even when it hurts. People need you when they need you, even when it's not convenient for you. If you've made a commitment to do something, follow through. That's just good godly character. That's really just good human character. But did you know how much honor has been dispensed of in our society? People don't even think of honor anymore. But it's important that we maintain our honor, our integrity, and our character, especially with God. And so what God's saying, he says, you know, these are the people that can come and worship me. Those who, when they make a promise, that they keep it. You commit to do something, you follow through. I'm sorry if you got home, you forgot about it, and you're all comfy in your slippers. You know, take off your little bunny slippers. Put your shoes back on, head out the door, and go fulfill your commitment. See, that's what we mean when we say people need you when they need you, not when it's convenient for you. Or, here's the other part of that. It's not just when you make a promise that you need to fulfill it. What if you're cruising down the street or walking through the store or wherever you are, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart? I want you to go over there. Well, Lord, I wasn't planning on going to that part of the store. I want you going over there because that's somebody I want you to talk to. Is it love? Is it faith? And are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you being led? The way you treat people, even in your family, is the way you're treating them and handling the affairs in your family. Is it love? Is it faith? And are you being led by the Holy Spirit? So when we're walking in love with people, if I'm driving down the road and I don't stop and hand money to everybody that's on the side of the road with a sign. I stop when I feel impressed in my heart to stop. Right? So every sign makes a demand on me. Me as a human, I generally tend to be compassionate. And I want to help as many as I can. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I love helping people. But I don't help every person that I go by. I don't answer every demand that is made of me. I answer the demands. Every sick person he walked by, he did not pray for. Does it mean he didn't want them healed? No. It just means he did one thing. I say only what the Father tells me to say. And I do only what the Father tells me to do. If God didn't say it, God didn't show it to me, I ain't doing it. And that's the way Jesus lived his life. Right? Who knows? I don't know the reasons why God don't lead me to give to every person. Maybe he understands how much money's in my wallet. I don't know. But it's not that we don't care. It's just that my job is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, with that, the caveat to that is you got to make sure that you don't never help anybody and say, well, I wasn't led. How come you ain't helping nobody? Because I wasn't led. Well, here, let me give you a bullet. Keep it in your pocket. Reach down there, feel led, and give some money. Whatever. Your life should never be in a place where you're never led to walk in the love of God. Because the love of God will inconvenience us sometimes. But it does not mean that we have to bow down to every demand that's made of us. So I'm trying to bring a well-rounded balance today. We want to develop in the love of God. But I don't want none of you going out feeling like you've got to just... I wrote this statement down, and it's my last statement. We read the verse. Well, hear me give you this example. We've helped many, many people. People that have come and asked for help, we've helped as many as we could. And there, let me say this. We've helped many, many people to a point. Well, what point did you come to that you didn't? When I was starting to have to use money that I had set aside to help anybody in here, it got to the point where, I was just helping people. And then somebody in the church family came to me and said, hey, is there any way you could, I don't have anything left to give. And that hurt me. And I told myself, I'll never do that again. So then I set it up. I set up a fund, and I put money to help people, and I put money that cannot be touched by anybody outside the family, so that if somebody in the family needs help, I've got it to give. So we can help people to a point. What would it look like if, just think about your own personal family, you were out and you were helping, doing everything for everybody else, accommodating their needs, and you're helping, but your own family's going to hell in a handbasket. Your own house is, you're fixing everything else, but your own house is broken. Your own car is broken. You generally see that with mechanics because they don't want to come home and work on their own car. Or a handyman. Right? I'm busy pastoring people and counseling people all day. I don't want to enter into your vortex at home. But there's no way I'm going to let my family go down the drain on the account of anybody else. God instituted, you look at Genesis, he created us, individuals. Then he created a family. Then he created ministry. Number one was God. Then he created us individuals to have an individual relationship with God. Then he gave us a wife and a husband and then children. So he gave us family. And then he developed ministry. And that's the order we should filter things through. God, where's my relationship with God? Where's my relationship with my family? And then where's my relationship with ministry? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not some times that we may make some sacrifices to serve God in ministry or things like that, but not at the expense of never having time with your family. If I found out someone was serving in this church, but they were spending so much time here that they never spent time with their family, I would say, okay, you're taking a break. You're taking a break because your family's falling apart. They need you more than we need you. Get your family, get your marriage right, get your family right, and serve when you can. Right? That's the love of God. Did you guys get anything out of that today? So here's my statement that I wrote down. What kind of example would a believer would we make if we make sure everybody outside the family is taken care of, but our own family's in shambles. We don't want that. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. When you're doing, you're always helping everybody else, always doing for everybody else, and then your family's at home suffering because you're not ever there. You know, there are people that are, we call them workaholics. They just work so much that they're not there for their family. That's not what God wants. And if you're here today and maybe you fit that, come on, we love you. Just let's work on making some adjustments. And that adjustment needs to be made immediately. Need to start making adjustments immediately to accommodate that. Amen? All right. Stand up on your feet, Father, in Jesus' name.